Welcome back to the Nerderotic Podcast. My name is Gary Beekler, and I am live in San Francisco, California, and I come to you from nerderotic.com, and today we are covering Better Call Saul, Season 4, Episode 8, Coushatta, which is, I think, a native, it's a town in Louisiana and a Native American tribe, I believe. I don't know. I think it's just a relation to the town that is involved in the story. And this is a great episode, by the way. This is an episode in what lengths are you willing to get the job done? And it reminds me, a grateful recovering addict here, a member of AA and NA, and the kind of crazy shit we addicts do to score. It's very similar, very, very similar. So we start out with, we left last episode, Kim, and she's defending Huel after he hit a cop in the head with a sandwich, and it looks like he's going to do jail time. And if he does, he's going to bounce. Jimmy's got kind of threw this in Kim's lap, and she's pretty pissed about it. It's been very cold to Jimmy, ice cold, deservedly so. And he thinks at this point it's probably over. So yeah, Jimmy was going to go do things his way. And Kim's like, no, I've got a plan. And we saw her go to some store and get a bunch of pens and papers and postcards and stuff. And she told Jimmy she has a plan. So we get to see what that plan was. Jimmy goes to the bus station and says goodbye to Kim, says he'll be back in a little bit. Doesn't need much. He's just got the supplies that Kim bought and takes off on a bus bound to Houston, but it transfers on the way down to Louisiana, and we find out why. While Jimmy is on the bus, we see him filling out the postcards and writing them and putting pens in his hand like this to try to write differently, or writing with his left hand. And so we kind of get the gist of what's going on, that there's going to be some kind of letter writing campaign for Huel, like character witnesses. Not sure really what's going on, but so later on we see Slippin' Jimmy kick in, and he employs everybody on the bus basically to start writing these letters, and he's paying everybody off and write these postcards. I think it's 50 cents a postcard, a dollar a letter. And he's memorized everybody's name on the bus the way, you know, that's part of his charm. And we get these letters, and he has to reject some due to cussing. One guy comes up, he's all, I admire your anger in this, but we need to be a little kinder. So, just go with the same passion, but not as angry. And the guy's name was Bubba. And so he gets off the bus, and we see he's in Louisiana. He dumps off all the postcards at the post office and waits for another bus to return home. And then we get the credits. So then we get the return of Nacho. About time. It's been two episodes, and since we had the 8-month time jump, Nacho has healed up quite nicely, and he's taking some dealers came in. One dealer in particular was at a music festival, and he was a little short on money. Now Nacho has got somebody else to do his gig, and now Nacho's the one sitting in the back table in the restaurant, just observing things. The guy said he was a little short because the music festival, there were some, rent-a-cops there. So he'll get it back next time. And the guy kind of lets him go easy, and Nacho calls him over and says, come here, let's talk. And the guy's like, I got to go. And he's like, no, let's talk. And gets close enough to him. And the guy has like piercings everywhere. And Nacho just rips his freaking earring out. I didn't see that one coming. I knew something was going to happen. I thought he was going to like plant his face on the table or something, but don't you want to just do that when you see too much? I mean, that, saying that myself, I have an earring, but like, sometimes you just want to rip. You don't want to give, like, especially your parents shit to rip out. Believe me on that one. So yeah, he rips it out and says that next, you come back with interest, and basically don't do that shit again. And Nacho just looks completely stressed at this point. We also see him going home, and he's got a nice house now, kind of nice digs. It's a real nice house, and it comes with a couple of girls smoking crack or crank or whatever they're smoking there. And he looks absolutely miserable. We see him go into the room. He takes his shirt off. We see his bullet, wound is healed a little bit. He goes into a safe and he pulls out a couple of fake IDs for himself and his pop. So it looks like he still has his exit strategy in mind. And I don't know if it's just me. I have a lot of sympathy, and Nacho's kind of my favorite character. I root like hell for Nacho to get out of that life. And his story is really compelling. That's why I want more of it. I haven't had enough this season, to be honest with you, but it's been really great, and it's just going to end so badly. But now I'm thinking that maybe he's the one who gets away. But out of the characters that don't end up in Breaking Bad, I don't know. I don't think all of them are going to die, but some of them. And I have a major death prediction at the end of this this one here. I'm glad you're getting some crossover with Breaking Bad now, Gary. Yeah, you know, I'm getting there. I'm getting there. But so we see the Germans. Mike is with the Germans, and he's taking them out to a little R&R, and they go to a strip joint. And like, what could go wrong there? I mean, like, nothing ever goes wrong at a strip joint. Yeah. So they're there, and Klaus, that's not his name. The German guy, I totally blanked his name now. I had it written down wrong. Him and Mike start talking, and he takes an interest. The main German engineer takes an interest in Mike's life, and he's being very kind to him. And this is something that Mike doesn't get a lot. And you know, he was telling him about his father and how his father, you know, poured the concrete at the Sydney Opera House. And how, you know, but it took 10 years of his life, and you could see that he's getting in his cups a little bit, starting to overshare. He talks to somebody else at the bar, buys him a beer, and Mike is just kind of eyeing him. And this is all bad. We know how Gus is. Okay. So this is all bad. I know Mike, and this might be a blind spot for Mike. These German guys, we don't want him to go crazy, but if any, you know, we just know that Gus is very good at covering his tracks. So this, I think this puts them in a lot of danger. So, Kai puts his hands on a stripper and gets thrown out of the club. Mike goes out, pays off the bouncer, pays off the girl, asks if the girl's okay, basically sends him on his way. And, you know, this guy's going to be trouble, but it's at this point, they should probably change out the team. And maybe they should have thought of that. Maybe they should have gotten multiple teams to come in, although that is too many people. But this is not going to end well. And again, I thought Mike was going to just drop him right there, but Mike has just been holding back. So by the end of the season, Mike's going to really go off on somebody. I'm not sure who now, though. I'm not sure who. So we see another scene, a quick scene where Jimmy's back and Kim is working on the case. She's blasting some Stereo Lab and being really cold to Jimmy. And, you know, he's feeling it at this point. And he's pretty clueless when it comes to relationships, or I don't know if he knows how to act, but even he's getting the hint now. She's, you know, just fine. Go out, go do whichever you need to do. And he had to go back to the office to go take care of the work of some more of this con that they have going on. And this is a con that Kim came up with, not Jimmy. And it's a pretty fucking good one, actually. And it was very entertaining. So Kim shows up to DA Erickson's office, and she tries a little what they use call in the show shock and awe. She brings four associates with her and again lays down the law that says, like, I'm not going to take a deal. I want 4 months time served and probation. The DA's not falling for it. She's like, bring all the freaking lawyers you want in here. It's fine. I guess we're just going to have to go to court and talk about it to the judge. And Kim goes, fine. She does her little fine thing, which she does so well. She walks out and takes kind of a shuddered breath. So I don't know if it's getting to her at this point or if she's really into it. I wasn't sure at this point, but we find out later. Mike pulls away the German guy from the bar. He's in a bar. He's drinking too much. He's sharing too much with some of the guys there. And he's like, talking about, you know, pouring concrete and drawing a picture on a little piece of paper, something like that. And Mike pulls him away, says, hey, your wife's on the phone and you got to go. And they bail. And, you know, the next scene is Mike giving him a come to Jesus. You know, it's the next day and they're all hungover. but they're happy. And he thanks Mike for taking him out. And he's like, listen, how much did you talk about? And he's like, oh, it was nothing. It was just, you know, it was just me just talking with some friends, you know, there was no details or anything. And Mike pulls out and shows a drawing, and there's no details on it, but he warns him, he gives him a little come to Jesus right there. He says, you know, my employer is a very serious guy, covers his tracks. Do you understand what that means? You're being paid a lot of money. And he says, I'm sorry, and I won't do it again. And Mike's all good. Good. We later see that this letter writing campaign has worked. A bunch of letters from that town show up at the judge. The judge is freaking out. And it's the guy from Star Trek Voyager, by the way. And he's totally freaking out. So he calls Erickson and Kim in and says, you know, you guys just need to work this out. I don't need a circus here. I don't need people. They're talking about people showing up. And they're making out that Huell is some kind of hometown hero and a good, you know, going to his church. And it's all people from a church. So we also find out that there's, you know, phone numbers on all these cards. And Erickson is taking this seriously now. And she, you know, this is also a good parallel to Kim. She is showing how much she's willing. She's like taking this case personal too. So this thing is blown completely out of proportion. She pulls everybody in from her office to start working on this. And she starts calling the numbers on the cards. And Jimmy has all the burner phones set up with names and a story for each card. And she tries calling a couple of numbers, gets some answering machine. And then she finally calls the church and Jimmy impersonates the pastor. And it's freaking hilarious. And he's got the film crew that was filming his commercials in there, like hitting play on a CD. So some organ music will play. It's totally overdone. And this is all for like a misdemeanor case and a guy getting, you know, hit in the head with a sandwich. Like it's fucking hilarious. But it works. Kim and Erickson work out a deal. Huell gets 4 months time served. Jimmy goes and meets Kim at the courthouse. And it looks like they're, you know, like she's probably going to chew him out. Like, I'm never going to fucking do this again. God damn it. And then, and no, she completely makes out with him and they have sex. It, you know, she's totally gone off on this. And this is what she's been looking for. She's been, you know, doing the pro bono stuff at the courthouse because the working for the bank is just boring her to death. There was one scene where she's with the bank manager and her coworker, and they were talking about maybe taking a chance of, you know, going back to a certain location and building a better building. Like one, they're getting a better response in one of their banks. So maybe we should build it to that one standards, but it's going to be a bigger footprint. And, you know, Paige, her coworker's all, nah, that would be too risky. We should probably just play it safe. And Kim agrees with her, but you could see Kim is just like, that's all this job is going to be, is playing it safe. So maybe Kim is having second thoughts and maybe we will get Wexler McGill. They have some romping sex, but then she goes right back to work. But it has her very contemplative, you know, she's, you know, and that's, and, so I don't know. We get, So Mike and Gus are talking and they're talking that they're behind schedule. And Mike tells him everything that happened, the stuff that happened in the bar. And Gus just asks him, are we good? And Mike says, yeah, we're good, but it's, you know, we're behind schedule, but the work is solid. These guys are solid. And Gus just says, good. We see Jimmy looking for a new office and it's really shabby. And Kim shows up and she's smoking a cigarette outside. And he's like, and Jimmy say, you know, earlier in the episode, the nail salon lady saw Jimmy kind of moping and is like, are you in trouble with your wife? And he's all, she's not my wife. He's all, and she says, whatever you do, you say you're sorry and then say you're sorry again. And maybe sorry again. He's all, I think we're past that. She's all, I'll leave the bottle. She gave him some liquor. So at this point, Jimmy thinks it's a good point to, or good time to apologize. And he starts to do a Jimmy Saul apology. And she just said, Kim just looks at him and goes, let's do it again. So yeah, her judgment's pretty screwed up too, but great episode. Great to see Nacho back. It also ends, we get a final scene with Nacho. he shows up back at the restaurant where he does his collections, and there's a guy cooking in the kitchen, blasting music, and everybody's like, what's up? He sees this guy at the table and kind of, you know, eyes back. The guy's cooking something. He offers it to Nacho. He's being like really overly charming and nice. And yeah, we find out this is another Salamanca. He has shown up. Eduardo, but I think it's Lalo, is that what his name is? But Eduardo, and he's a part of the family, and he's there to keep an eye on things. And another monkey wrench in the problem for Nacho, and he can't get a break. This poor kid, this poor mafia kid. So that's where it ends. I believe we have two more episodes left. I think shit's going down. I'm worried for Kim, but what I'm most worried about is the Germans. I think it's pretty clear now that they're not going to make it home, and that's going to suck because most of them are cool, you know? And I don't think they're going to make it home. I think they're going to get buried in the foundation of the meth lab. Sorry to say, they're really setting it up. They're really laying it on thick with the head engineer. And let's get to the chat. But that was a fun episode. I liked it. Been watching some good TV this weekend, man. This is a cleansing week because the week before that was pretty bad. Still got one more show to go. I'm doing four shows tonight. So yikes. So hello, Artemis Over Easy, Movie Fenobi, Mary Ashmead, Viking Bitch. How's it going? Jody, Dynamo 75. Good evening again. Yes, I'm quite a trooper today. Third stream. Yes, we're getting a recorded video next. What sucks is I haven't been able to watch any of my friends today, do live streams and stuff. And I feel like I've stepped on their toes a bit, but, this is not a Mysterio t-shirt, Dynamo 5. This is the Orb. He is a, Ghost Rider villain. Mike Aaron Trout, world's most patient man to a point. Damn straight. God, I love Mike. I do. Very tragic what happened to him. Gus is always good at covering his tracks, Mary Ashmead. Yeah, that's what I'm very worried for the Germans. Very worried for the Germans. Gus is an impressive, mild-mannered, intelligent man. But he also has so much power, intent. He is an animal when he's angry and not in control of his emotions. No, he's seething at all times. Completely seething. Yeah, it's Neelix, isn't it? Yes, it was Neelix, the judge. Yes. Neelix, that's funny. He had so much makeup on. I'm not sure he enjoys having a new role. Yeah, I don't know. He probably gets recognized, though. It wasn't that much. It's not like Star Trek Discovery Klingons. How utterly classic Slipping Jimmy was the save Huel game plan, right? Perfectly designed and executed, and with Kim's help, no less, made me appreciate Kim even more. Want more Slipping Kim. Yeah, Kim is fucking awesome. That's why the nail salon lady was right. You just say you're sorry. And oh my God, they even had a website with a donation fund going for him, and pictures of Huel all smiling and painting a church and stuff. It was so overdone and great. Manifest is next. Unfortunately, we can't watch it. It doesn't air here for another hour for me. So yeah, that's next. You're right, Joe. A Huel hitting a cop with a sandwich is such a level one villainy arch. Well played, sir. That's from Venture Brothers, folks. There are at least five actors in Better Call Saul that were on Star Trek. I don't know that off the top of my head, but I will have to think about it. Was Bryan Cranston ever in Star Trek? Kind of feels like he would be. I feel bad because I haven't even like finished Breaking Bad. Well, I haven't even seen all of Breaking Bad either. I got into Better Call Saul first because I got sick one day. And, you know, I had a man cold. You know what those are, man cold. And I was laying in bed and Netflix, and there we go. Yeah. So there's going to be three streams today, one recorded video. I'm not going to make you guys stay up for Manifest, because that's, I'll be recording that like at 11:30 my time, which will be freaking past your bedtime 30 for most of you out there. The sad part about this is I saw a video on BuzzFeed with real lawyers, and they said that Better Call Saul is very realistic. That is sad, Mako. And I will tell you that the criminal court stuff is pretty realistic. I have a lot of experience in that, and I'm not a lawyer. Not a lawyer at all. But the pro bono, when you're doing when you're going to get, you know, you get a little check, but you're called a dump truck when you're a court appointed attorney. And it's usually where new attorneys go to, you know, get their hours, get their cases, get going. Some are good, some are not. Some are, there's a lot of Sauls out there. There's a lot of Sauls. Actually, Saul is probably better than a lot of what I've met. There's also intellectual property attorneys, which are right below sharks. Although, no, sharks are honorable beasts, you know. I don't mean to discredit sharks. There was a scene in the first season where he bribes someone, and they all said, yeah, you need to bribe to get things done. Yes, you do. Now, I don't know that for a fact, but there's all different kinds of bribes, as you know, Mako. I mean, let's look at it even with the field we're kind of in, where entertainment. I don't want to call us news. We're not news. Whatever we are, we're entertainment something. But with all the entertainment websites I go to, and when we accuse people of being shills, it's because they get they shill for like the littlest stuff, for like gift baskets or free access or a DVD, not even a Blu-ray, that they might get early. It's the nature of the world, unfortunately. Okay, off topic about the Uranus Awards. I know you said no formal wear, but what about a tuxedo printed t-shirts? Of course. I think so. Cranston had a guest star appearance on Trek, but I can't remember. I vaguely remember that. But I'm sure the commenters will know. You guys are a quick bunch out there. It's crazy. My fellow live streamers will understand this. Things you know off the top of your head. I would forget my kid's name on a live stream. It's crazy how stuff just goes out of your head when you're live and you're like really put on the spot. It's the best thing to do. Just move on. Somebody in the comment will save you, or, you know, they'll know what you're talking about, or they'll criticize you, and that's fine. That's okay. I have no problem with that. But I have yet to not be entertained by the show. This show is really, really good. I'm loving it more. This is a great season, by the way. It's really well done. I wasn't sure where they were going with Jimmy and Kim. And it seems like they've kind of circled back around. It looked like we were seeing their destruction. It circled back around. So it is going to be something rash. It doesn't make for good TV for things to just fade away and die, which is how most relationships end, unfortunately, but it'll be something dramatic, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure they were on Star Trek. Then again, Star Trek had 800 episodes, so that wasn't on Star Trek. Boosh. I'm awesome. Thanks, Feisty. You're awesome too. Boom. Mic drop. And yeah. So Stormy Scott, hello. How's it going, Stormy Scott? I had to get my nerve up to make my first comments. Broke into a sweat. Look at me now. Never shut up. That's how it goes. It is. When you dive into YouTube comments and you've never done it before, and you're not sure how these things roll, and especially some places can be treacherous to get into, we'll say. But we're not that place. Occasionally, but not bad. Yeah. So I'm going to wrap this one up, cause I got to watch another show, but I'll read a couple more comments. I'm going to run my old Patreon video. And yes, Mary Ashmead is in there with a wrench. She is a patron. You're on the new one. I just got to process it. I just have had no time today. Yeah, totally off topic. Common Core Math. Not a fan at all. I am completely lost helping my kid with his homework. Self-produced live episode here, so please forgive, but these are our wonderful patrons. If you sign up to our Patreon, you get stuff. You also get exclusive content, and there's actually more and more of that every day. And in the next, in the next couple months, there'll be, almost daily content, and maybe sooner. We'll see how tomorrow goes. Yeah, Common Core. What the hell? What's up, man of action? Yeah, math is math. Lalo, thank you. Now he was, and that was a Curia 624. I appreciate you coming in saying that is Lalo. Now, was that a reference from Breaking Bad? I don't know. I had to take statistics in college, Gary, and everything is calculated by a program. Now that's pointless. Yeah. The baseline, like math had a baseline, and I don't know what their baseline is at all. I don't know where they're coming from. It might as well be ancient Greek. I'm like, what the hell is this? Imagine Doomcock himself presenting him some more. Maybe, Doomcock's busy. He's invited, of course, but Doomcock's a busy guy. He's a busy, busy guy. He's got stuff going on. I haven't even been able to talk to him today. I'm going to probably after Manifest go in and return all my messages. I have an S load of emails to get back. I had to answer a bunch of work emails, which wasn't fun. Yes, Doomcock can sing. Yes. I don't know if they put that back up, Mako, of him singing. I was on a very long live stream where he sang. It was so much fun. That was so good. I came in late as usual, and oh yeah, caught that too. That was straight up Breaking Bad. Yes. Okay, good. It felt like one. You can suss it out a little bit, but did they put it back up? That's cool. Yes, he sang Danny Boy. He also sang Something Stupid, which was in my brain since it was on Better Call Saul last week. I freaking love that song. Yeah, that's good that it's back up. All right, so Artemis Over Easy. How the hell are you? Doomcock tends to sound like Ethel Merman or Frank Sinatra. So if you guys don't know who I'm talking about, if you just come here for Better Call Saul, Doomcock is a YouTuber. He's another YouTuber. He's part of our tribunal. If you go to my channel, you see his channel and Mecha Random and Midnight's Edge After Dark. I almost said Midnight's Edge 42. Ooh, it's been a day. Midnight's Edge After Dark. There, if you go to my channel, you'll see the tribunal. Go check them out. If you like them, please subscribe. They're good people. Good people, just like the good people here in the chat. So yes, I am going to cut this one short now. We will be back for two more episodes of Better Call Saul. It might be a recorded video next week. Hopefully not. We will see how things go. But you guys are all brilliant. Thank you again for all past super chats and supporting us and Patreon. And we will see you all soon. May the small folks sing songs of your greatness. Good night, everybody.